from the Lord. You will feel full because of the solid food of the Word. That's what happens with a baby, right? You can tell when a baby is ready to move past milk, because they can have all the milk they drink, but they still cry, and they're still unhappy, and they're still miserable. And you've cleaned their diaper, so that's not the issue. But obviously you realize they're ready for something more than just the milk. They're ready for some solid food. So he's calling us to be proactive. We are to be proactive in nurturing a foundation for growing in maturity in Christ. And if you do this, as in the Hebrews of that day, you will not fall away. So here's the main point. And by the way, there's an outline that goes along with the message that you can fill in or doodle on it or make faces, all those kind of things. Here's the main point. God wants us to grow on into maturity in our faith. He wants us to move off the milk, which is the elementary truths of the faith, and move into the meat, the solid food of God's Word. And if we'll do that, by its constant use and growing in the Word, we will mature and we'll be able to discern good from evil. That's what we just read. We will, by its use in our lives, be able to discern good or evil, right from wrong. We can discern error from truth. So let me ask you, are you hungering for the meat of God's Word? Are you hungering for the solid food that will mature you in God's Word? And this connects back, this passage connects back to verse 2 of chapter 5. You see, this whole section really has been connecting with this. And in chapter 5, verse 2, he says this, that he, Jesus, is able to do... can we bring that verse up, Marshall? 5:2. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself was subject to weakness. You see, this is what he was dealing with. This is what the writer of Hebrews was dealing with. They were ignorant of the deeper truths of God's Word, and therefore they're going astray. And so he's challenging you and me. He's saying, get off the milk, get off the pablum, and dig into the meat, the solid food of God's Word. And he says he says the goal in chapter 6, verse 1, the goal is maturity. He says, let us grow on to maturity. Let us grow on to maturity. That is the goal. I don't know about you, but one of the slams that when I was in school, which was, you know, like 2,500 years ago, one of the slams that people would do to each other would be like, you're so immature. You're so immature, you know. And it was cool to be mature, so everybody had to act mature. Now, I know that doesn't relate to everybody today, because that's, you know, like I said, 2,500 years ago. But it was a slam to say, you're immature. And, you know, I remember my father, when I would do really stupid things, foolish things, like one time, I know I got to confess things. Oh, by the way, I'm doing pretty good on my diet. Right? Somebody asked me about that. How's it going on your diet? So, it's hard. Only had pizza once this week. Isn't that true, baby? Once? Okay. I think it was only once. And by the way, it was right after service last Sunday. It was like, hey, this is the last ditch. Here we go. One of the things I did was, as a kid, we went out behind the house, and we lived in a area, there were old chicken farms out behind us, and there was these fields where the weeds had grown up, and we used to play hide and seek and all this stuff. Well, we came near one of our neighbor's sheds, and he had a box, just a big cardboard box there, and inside the box was a pillow. And this was an old-timey pillow, so of course, being stupid, foolish kids, we decided to rip the pillow open. And it was full of rubber foam squares, the little squares, remember those? And we thought, this would be really cool to set this on fire. Yeah, yeah. So you think Pastor Tom was an angel growing up? No, that's the opposite. And we did. Somehow we got matches or whatever, and we set this thing on fire. And what was fun was that we could take like some clods of dirt and stuff and throw it and put it out. So that was really cool. That was funny. So we did it two or three times, and then we thought the fire was out and we left. A couple, 3 hours later, All of a sudden we hear these fire engines that are coming into our neighborhood, and there's all this smoke coming from back behind the fields there. And what had happened is the fire didn't go out, and I guess some of the sparks had flown into the weeds, and all the weeds caught on fire. And so, yeah, they had to come and put the fire out. And my father found out that I was one of the culprits. And boy, did I get a whipping. And I remember saying, you know, you're like 9 years old. Why are you doing such a foolish and immature thing? Why are you doing such an immature thing? See, but when you are immature, what do? Oh, that was pathetic. When you're immature, you do immature things. And that's the way he's talking to these believers here. He's saying, you're doing these immature things because you are immature. Now, that's not very flattering. But you know what? The Word of God speaks clearly and speaks to us straightforward and directly. And here's what has to happen with you and me. We've got to hear the Word, and then we've got to decide, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to say, oh, that's not me. I'm mature. And then you go spend 6 hours playing video games and don't do your homework and stay up all night and you can't get up in the morning for work or school. I'm not immature. I'm mature. And, you know, you can substitute anything you want in there. When I was young, we'd, you know, go out and drive around in our muscle cars to all hours of the night, and foolish stuff like that, and race. So he's saying to them, you're immature and you're doing immature things. So now, what's the solution to this? He's saying, move forward, grow on to maturity. So the goal is maturity, and maturity is this. It is completeness, and we get this from verse 1 of chapter 6. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to what? Maturity. Let us go on to maturity. So maturity is this, it is completeness. It is spiritual and moral perfection. Now, this is our goal. This is our goal. Could we bring that up, Marshall? Maturity? I think I have it. There we go. Back one. There we go. Completeness. Spiritual and moral perfection. Now, none of us are going to become perfect, right? But this is our goal. We are to set our faces towards the Lord and set our hearts toward His Word, so that by it we will grow up into our salvation. Peter says the same thing. 1 Peter 2:2-3, like newborn babies crave the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted and see that the Lord is good. One of the things that you see with infants is that they like the milk, but then when they move on to solid food, something a little bit more tasty. Oh, they really like that. See, they've already tasted that the milk is good, but now they taste and they see, I want something different. I want something more. It's kind of like, this is why I'm struggling with my diet. See, I have tasted the pizza, and it is good. And I'm having a struggle getting off of the pizza. Somebody sent me a recipe that you can make a Parmesan crust. And that can substitute for the dough. So we're going to try that. I don't know if it's going to taste very good. But that's the problem. A lot of this healthy stuff for you, the sticks and the twigs and the rabbit food, it just doesn't taste very good. Am I right? I mean, I'm just being honest. It doesn't taste very good. You can dump a bunch of salad dressing on it, but it still picks sticks and twigs. You know, it just doesn't taste good. The rabbits like it, but I don't. Like newborn babies crave the work, crave the spiritual milk, and then you will grow up in your salvation. Now, you've tasted and you see that the Lord is good. So as we're tasting the Word, you'll want more. I'm going to challenge you to something. Taste the Word. Maybe you're at a point where you're really not spending too much time in the Word. You know, maybe you have your daily crumb. Maybe you have the daily bread. You know, and that's a good start, you know. And if you have that, read the scriptures that it lists. Don't just, you know, read over them. Read the scriptures. Turn in your Bible and read the scriptures. And if you'll do that, if you'll begin to get into the Word, you know what? You'll develop a hunger and a taste for more of God's Word. You will. I guarantee it. The more you eat, the more hungry you will be for it. And when you crave the milk of the Word, you will then crave the solid food, and you will continue to grow and mature. Here's another scripture. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Now I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. Let the message of Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. So not only can we eat the Word ourselves, but we can actually also share that with other people. We can share that with one another. Maybe God will give you an opportunity to say, you know, you're struggling with this. I just went through that. And here's what God showed me in the Word. And I hope it encourages you. And then you can share that with somebody. Or, you know, you may just find something that's pretty exciting to you. Like I saw that little bit at the end of Deuteronomy that talked about Moses being the greatest prophet. And it gave me another level of understanding, another layer of understanding why the Jewish Christians were struggling with this contrast between Jesus, the Son of God, and Moses, the greatest prophet. So we are to eat the Word. We are to love the Word. We are to fill our lives with the Word, as Colossians tells us. Now listen, everybody with me, say amen. Y'all not asleep, right? God's not going to do this for you. He's not going to do it for you. Sometimes I wish that, especially as I'm getting a little bit older and my memory, sometimes, I don't know if I'm blowing circuits up there or what, but, you know, I've memorized a lot of Scripture over the years, and sometimes I'll start it and it will not come. It won't come. So I wish I could take the Bible at night. I wish I could lay it on top of my head as I sleep, and I wish I could morph into my head, into my memory, so that it would metamorph, or what's the word I'm thinking of? Osmosis. Thank you. Yeah, see, I told you I'm forgetting. But God is not going to do this for us. We have a responsibility. If you want to grow in your faith, if you want to become mature, if you want to lay a foundation for maturity in your life, you've got to read the Word. Because God speaks to us primarily through the truth of His Word. When it says in Hebrews 1 that in these days He has spoken to us by His Son, well, we have the record of all the words that Jesus spoke. And you know, primarily in the Gospels of His teaching, we ought to be reading that. We ought to be saturating our mind with the Word of God. All right, well, how do we do this? Well, let's try to, in a practical way, break it forth, not break it down. Now, a little inside joke there. Nobody with Gatorade coming out of the door, right? Good. Number one, let's make an action commitment to move forward, to build a foundation. Let's make an action commitment to move forward. You see in verse 1, he gives a couple of calls to action. Verse 1 of chapter 6. Therefore, let us leave. Right? Let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and let us go on to maturity. Let us leave the elementary teachings and let us go on to maturity. Those are calls to action. In other words, you and I cannot be passive when it comes to our growth in Christ. It's a cooperation. Yes, it is all God in that He grants us the power. He has given us the gift of His indwelling Holy Spirit, but it's raw potential power. And we have to take that and grow with the milk of the Word and then the solid food of the Word. So we have a call to action. And here's what this means. And these are Tom's definitions of this, the word action. Okay, this isn't the literal definition, but it means, watch this, I'm going to do something with this. I'm not going to just hear another good sermon and come out and say, oh, that was good, and then go home and, you know, turn on the TV and watch stuff. Get some action in your faith. Do something with this from the call of God, from the Word here. And then commitment, the next one. Commitment is this. I stick to it whether I feel like it or not. I believe it's social scientists say that it takes 30 days to develop and keep a habit. 30 days. So if you will make it a habit of 30 days of getting into the Word every day and reading some out of the Word, if you make that a habit, or excuse me, if you make that a practice for 30 days, it will become a habit for you. If you don't, if you just start, then you're going to be dealing with that kind of inconsistency. You're going to be an infant in Christ. You're going to be on the milk. So it means I'm going to stick with it. And let's just be honest. There's for all of us, there's days that just, you know, you don't feel like it. But we can't be ruled by our emotions. We can't be ruled by our feelings. You know? I remember our kids growing up, you know, especially when they were younger. And, you know, we would ask them to do something or to give them direction to do this. And they'd be like, oh, I just don't feel like doing that. And our response always would be, do it anyway. Do it anyway, right? That's the kind of attitude we have to have with our spiritual discipline of getting into the meat of the Word. Do it anyway. Do it whether you feel like it or not. Grab a hold of your flesh. Listen, grab a hold of your flesh. Grab a hold of your feelings and master that by the power of the Spirit. You have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. We're told actually that the power of the Holy Spirit is the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead that is living in you and me. So don't say that I just don't have the power to do it. You do. Ask God to help you. Ask God to overcome your flesh. Ask God, listen, ask God to overcome your laziness. Some of you have come to me and say, Pastor Tom, you know, I just got to be honest. I got to admit, I'm lazy. Yeah, well, there's times that we all are. There's times we don't feel like it. But let's get over that, amen? Let's not just stop there and say, I just don't feel like it, so I'm just not going to do it. Or, you know, maybe you do fail a couple times, and you're like, and I've used this illustration before. You just say, oh, I'm just not going to do it anymore. I'm just not going to read the Word. That's kind of like eating regular food, right? So let's say you miss a meal. You forget to eat breakfast, and you know, you get later in the day, you're really hungry, and you're like, can you believe this, man? I'm such an idiot. I forgot to eat breakfast. That's it. I'm not eating anymore. That's it. I'm not going to eat anymore. I'm such an idiot. We don't do that. Of course not. You move to the next meal. So if you miss a meal, if you miss some time reading, don't beat yourself up. Don't allow the enemy to condemn you. Move forward. Say, oh, I'm going to read. I'm going to get to it. Well, he tells us to leave certain things. There's an action here, right? He says, leave. And he says, leave some of these elementary doctrines. Now, watch this. Because, you know, sometimes the things that we think are elementary are not necessarily so. When I was in school, you know, they made us learn the ABCs. They made us learn the math. You know, in my day, they made us learn the times tables. And I know they don't even use that anymore, do they? It's unfortunate. You know, but I can actually still see the times table in my mind. Of course, the problem is it only goes up, you know, for me, it only went up to 9 by 9, 9 times 9. You know, that's because my limited capacity to memorize. But even to this day, I can memorize those things. Now, you might say, well, that's really elementary things. But think about it. Multiplication is the basis of many, many things, right? It's the multiplication. If you don't learn that, how are you going to move on to the more complicated things? And so you learn it, but then you move on. You don't just go to the next year and learn the same multiplication table over again. No, you move forward. And so he has some elementary doctrines. And I think one of the problems is that sometimes we're relearning the same doctrines, the same elementary things over and over again. And we're not getting past it. Look at some of the things he says here, and it begins in chapter 6, verse 1. Let us go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death. Stop right there. Repentance from acts that lead to death. Okay? This means repentance is the turning away from sin. Repent means to turn away. It also means to have a change of mind. Listen. You will not have a transformed, changed mind if you don't get in the Word. Because it tells us that the Word is what transforms our mind. Romans 12, verse 2 and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, part of the reason that some of us still keep doing the same things over and over again, we keep sinning over and over again, the same things, is because we haven't moved past it. Because our mind has not been renewed to understand that this is not God's will, this is wrong, this is sin, but I just keep doing it because my mind, you do what your mind thinks. Right? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. He will do the things that you think are okay. So you have to have a transformed mind. And in this context, it literally means dead works. Repentance from dead works. What were some of the dead works that the Hebrew Christians were doing? Well, they were reverting back to the law. They were trusting in the law. They were trusting in rituals. They were trusting in the high priest being the one that took away their sins by his sacrifices. Oh, no. All that had been changed. All that had been transformed through the great sacrifice of Jesus, the high priest. These things cannot impart life. What things are you doing? Listen. What things are you doing in your life as practices or habits that are not imparting life to you? They're not imparting life to you. And what I mean is that true spiritual life. Right? Jesus said, you will have life and you will have it to the full. You have it abundantly. What things are you doing that are not giving you true spiritual life? I'll give you an example. And I know I'm going to step on some of y'all's toes here. That's okay. Pull them in. We say, oh, I just don't have time to read the Word. What things are you reading? Okay? Seems like we have time to read novels. We have time to get on the internet and we have time to read Facebook or Twitter. Whatever it may be, we have time for that. We have time to watch TV. We have time to text. We have time to do this. We have time to do that. What are you reading? What are you giving of your time that is not transforming your life? You know, let the Lord speak to you about that. You know, imagine if you spent the kind of time in the Word that you spend, you know, on TV or on Facebook or whatever it is that you do. And, you know, some of the novels that people read, you know, they're not only not giving you life, they're actually opposite of God's Word. They're leading you into thoughts of lust, and they're leading you into thoughts of adultery. One time, we had this couple down in South Carolina that we were counseling, and one of the complaints that the husband had as we came to a little bit of counseling is that, you know, my wife's reading these romantic novels. And part of the problem was that he was, like, totally unromantic. He had about as much romance as a stick, you know. But, of course, you know, these romance novels were like perking her to want, you know, more romance. And then, of course, it was leading to other things, and she was beginning to reach out, you know, through things like Match.com and that kind of nonsense. Well, what do you expect? Garbage in, and you'll get... Yeah. If you sow to the flesh, from the flesh you will reap death. And the Word tells us this. If you live according to the flesh, Romans 8:13, you will die. It will bring spiritual death to your life. There are sins, by the way, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. There are sins that can actually lead to physical death. We know that that's true. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 tells us there are some sins with which God chastens people and they actually die. 1 John chapter 3 says that there is a sin that does not lead to physical death, but there are some that do lead to physical death as well. So the next thing he says, not only elementary doctrines or repentance from acts that lead to death, but faith in God. Some of us are still struggling with the issue of whether God is truly God, and therefore I am to worship Him. I put a post on Facebook this week. You know, I'm trying to be a little more hip. And I know that I'm, like, already 10 years behind. But I'm starting, okay? I'm trying. And I need some of you millennials to teach me, like, how to be a twit. Isn't that what you do if you do Twitter? You're a twit? I've already got it wrong, see? I want to tweet, right? Okay. Help me, Jesus. I'm surprised Roger hasn't said it already. Help me, Jesus. Faith in God. Faith in God. I put it on Facebook today. Decide if God is who He claims to be. Decide for your life. Decide it. I'm amazed when I talk to people that say, you know, I just don't really know if all this God stuff's real. I just don't, especially Jesus stuff. I just don't know it's real. And I'll ask them, I can understand the struggle. You know, there's a time in my life that I, you know, was really seeking truth, seeking what is true. I asked him, have you ever read the Bible? No. Do you own a Bible? No. Well, here's a challenge. How about reading the Bible? Check it out. Check it out. Go to the Gospels. Go to the Gospel of John and see where Jesus claims to be God. God the Son in the flesh who's come to the earth to reveal the good Father to us. How are you going to know if God is God if you won't seek it out? And so, believing that God is and that He sent His Son and trusting in the finished work of Christ, not ourselves or dead religion. Hebrews later in the chapter 11 says, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. He calls this a elementary doctrine. Put your faith in God and then move forward. Move beyond just believing in God. I don't know how many people ask that question. I'll ask them, are you a Christian? And they'll say, oh, I believe in God. Well, that's not what I asked you. Okay? I can believe I'm a hamburger, and that doesn't make it so. Right? I go over to McDonald's and stand in the window and say, I'm a hamburger because I'm at McDonald's. Some people go to church and they think, I'm a Christian because I go to church. That's not what makes you a Christian. Being a Christian is my faith is in Christ and Christ alone. He goes on. He says, baptism. Uh-oh, here we go. Pastor about to stomp on some toes now. Baptism. Publicly proclaiming Christ as my Savior and my Lord. This is an elementary doctrine. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And yet some of us here have still not been baptized. Some of us have been following Christ for years and we're still not baptized. What is up with that? I mean, this is an elementary truth of God's Word. Hey, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just sharing for what the Word says. He says, move past it. Well, how are you going to move past it if you haven't even been baptized yet? Brother Jim, brave man, didn't want to be in front of all you people. Y'all are mean looking. Smile at me. See, they're not that mean. But he got baptized last year. He's an example. Oh, Pastor, I just can't be in front of people. I don't want to look like a wet rat. Get over it. Obey God and get over it. His Word says, be baptized. Don't be a closet Christian. You know what happens when you make the plunge? When you say, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to let everybody know, man, the pressure is over. You don't have to worry about what anybody else is thinking because you've been so humiliated being dunked in the water and you look like a drowned rat and you come up sputtering and dripping wet. It's over. My pride is gone. You don't have to worry about it anymore. And when somebody asks you, do you follow Jesus? You can say, yes, I followed Him all the way into baptism. So baptism is an elementary truth of God's Word. We're going to be having a baptism soon, in a few weeks. So if you need to get baptized, you better be talking to me after the service. Next is laying on of hands. Sometimes laying on of hands followed a baptism. But it also was an indication that someone was being set apart and entrusted with a ministry responsibility. Listen, every one of us should be serving in some way. How long have you been coming to Island Lines Church and you're not serving somewhere? You need to be serving. You have gifts. God's given you gifts. And you need to be serving. We'd like to help you discover what those gifts are. We have a spiritual gifts assessment to help you understand what those gifts are so that you can be serving. Okay, we're going to take a time out here for just a second. A little promo ad. We have a big struggle going on in the nursery. We need people to help watch our babies and little ones so that moms and dads can come in here and have an hour and a half. Keep laughing, it might be two. They have an hour and a half of time without the kids pulling at them, of focused time with the Lord. And some of us don't have children anymore, or don't have children yet, and yet we're not taking an opportunity to help in the nursery. And so it's falling on the same people over and over again, and it's wearing them out. Can I ask you to do something, or put some action in your faith today? Serve in our nursery. You know, once a month it'll take. Once every 2 months. You know? So break out your little sign-up sheet and sign it up today. Be a part of the ministry here. You know, if this is not going to be your church home, God bless you. We pray for you to find where God wants you to be. But if you consider this your church home, serve. Find a place to serve. Then he goes on. And I know time's moving along here. So am I. Resurrection of the dead. Resurrection. Oh, yes, I believe in God, but I'm just not sure about this Jesus thing with him resurrecting from the dead. I'm just not sure. You know what? You need to get sure. You need to get sure. If you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to follow Christ, it tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that Christ died according to the Scriptures. He was dead and was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. We need to settle this in our hearts and our minds. It's an elementary teaching of the Word. A basic of the Word. Finally, eternal judgment. Eternal judgment. It is coming. Judgment is coming. It tells us over and over again in the Word, judgment is ready to happen. 1 Peter 4:7, it is time for judgment to begin with the house of God. And if it begins for us, what will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of God? You know, I think sometimes we just don't really believe it because we're not telling people the way to avoid judgment. If we really believe that judgment was coming and all those who don't obey the gospel of God, would we not be motivated to tell people of the way that they can avoid judgment through the forgiveness and the hope of Jesus Christ? Will we not? But how often do we share our faith? I put that on Facebook this week too. I asked the question, how many of us have shared our faith these past few days? I think I got, I don't know, a handful of responses. Man, I should have 200 likes, 200 responses saying, I have. Isn't that what Jesus told us to do? Go out and preach the gospel. Go out and make disciples. Why aren't we doing it? You know why? Because we're immature and we haven't gotten past the milk of God's Word. We need to get off the bottle. We need to make a commitment. Eternal judgment is considered an elementary truth of God's Word. Listen, deal with it. The issue's not with me. The issue's with God. God says judgment is coming. Will you not tell people of the way of escape, how to escape coming judgment? Will you not tell them? Elementary doctrines of Christ. We must master these and then move forward. Have we mastered these things? Have you mastered these things? Are these things that you know well? You know, you don't have to memorize the whole Bible, but do you know one or two verses about some of these issues, these doctrines? Then he goes on and tells us, grow on to maturity. How? By constantly using it. And if we will do that, if we will constantly use it, then the Word will train us. We'll develop a pattern. We'll develop a pattern in our lives. You want to know why so many Christians are making so many mistakes? It's because we don't use the wisdom of God's Word. And a lot of times, you know, people will come in for help, come in for counsel. And please, I'm not thinking of anyone in particular here, so don't think Pastor Tom's pointing you out. But a lot of people, and by the time you've come to me, it's too late. You've already made the decision. what can I do at that point? You've made a decision at that point, not based on the godly principles in His Word. I can pray for you. I will pray for you for mercy and grace, you know, for whatever decision you've made that now you're in a mess. Why not get into the Word so it will teach us to discern right from wrong? It will teach us to discern right from wrong. I'll give you one final example. There was someone coming to this church, and this is years ago, and they had made a commitment to Christ, and they were you know, been here a short time, and I challenged them, get into the Word, you know, we want to disciple you, and this person resisted. And for whatever the reasons were, the person resisted. And they came to Sunday, and that's good, but, you know, Sunday's like a banquet for once a week. You're going to be hungry through the rest of the week. You're going to be malnourished through the rest of the week. So I found this out through the bank, and I got to be honest, it was very embarrassing. But someone from the bank called me because they know that this person comes to this church. Again, nobody here now. They're gone. You're gone for years. And they said, you know, Pastor Tom, such person came to the bank, and the teller gave them too much change. I don't remember what it was, maybe $20 more than it should have or something. They wouldn't give it back. They wouldn't give it back. And I was like, what? I just couldn't believe it. I was like, no, that, it must be a mistake here. So I called the person up. I said, hey, person from the bank called, yada, yada, yada. You know. I said, did you keep the money? And they said, yeah. Oh, yeah. I said, hey, they gave it to me. It's mine. And I'm like, what? I feel like reaching through the phone and going, you know. They need to come up with something for the pastor to do that. A hand on the phone or something. Hold that phone up to your face right now. Yeah. And I tried to be gentle, but I could feel the frustration rising. And I'm like, what? I said, no, the money's not yours. I said, you need to go give it back. They wouldn't do it. They would not go back and give the money. And I was like, this is unbelievable. And, they started making excuses. And I said, listen, brother, you are wrong in this, and you've got to go give the money back. They would not listen to me. Well, I followed Matthew chapter 18. I said, listen, you need to give that money back, or I'm going to go and share this with the elders of what you've done. And they hung up on me. And they didn't come back to church. What are you going to do at that point? What are you going to do to a person like that? You know, that's an elementary thing. Do you know why? Because they're not getting into the Word. There they think, that's okay. That's okay. Now, you know, maybe you aren't guilty of that, but what kind of knucklehead things have you done? Because the Word has not informed, has not discerned your mind from good from evil. What are the kinds of things that we have done? And we could probably take all day to tell stories of knucklehead things we have done. You and I won't do those things if we're informed and growing in our faith and maturing and getting past the milk. And that's what God wants for you and for me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the challenge from your Word to grow, to move forward, Lord. Every one of us struggles in various ways, Lord, but you have provided the power through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, you've told us to move forward into maturity. And Lord, that's our heart. We want to. We want to grow on. We want to become mature. We want to be able to discern good from evil, right from wrong. Those things that please you, Lord. Those things that are not good for us, we don't want to do them. But those things that please you and bring glory and honor to you, Lord, that's our heart. So I pray that for each one of us. I pray that we won't just walk away from this message this morning, but we will make an action commitment. We will say, Lord, we're going to study your Word. I am going to hide your Word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Lord, I'm going to be doers of the Word, not just hearers. I'm going to be a man or a woman who seeks you, Lord, and seeks the truth of your Word. If that's you, right now, I'm going to ask in your heart, make a commitment to the Lord. Make that commitment to Him. Say, Lord, I'm going to follow You, and I'm going to read Your Word. I'm going to study Your Word. And Lord, I'm going to grow on to maturity. Lord, You hear our hearts. I pray that You will enable us to commit and to stay strong. I pray for anyone that is especially struggling with a very difficult situation, Lord. We have counsel. Your Word has counsel for them. And I pray this over this congregation. I bless them. Thank You for their attention. Anything that is not of Me, Lord, remove it from their thoughts and their minds. And I pray all this in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Please take time to greet each other before you...